At the edge of the Atlantic Ocean, the city of San Luis, Senegal is sandwiched between the river and the sea. It's an ancient fishing town, a UNESCO World Heritage Center. During colonial times, San Luis was Senegal's capital. Today, it's steadily shrinking under rising seas. This is where we begin an epic journey from Senegal to Morocco to Spain, tracing a line that connects three of the biggest stories of our time: climate change, migration, and the rise of far-right political leaders. To understand that global story, we need to start local, with a grandfather named Mamadou Thiam. He carries himself like a community leader, an elder, which he is. As a child, he was raised in a family of fishermen. Every day when his mother made lunch, she would send young Mamadou to fetch his father from the shoreline.
Even if our mom hadn't started cooking the food, because the sea was very far from the houses, by the time you came back from calling your dad to have lunch, the lunch was ready. Nowadays, God has pushed the sea up to our houses. Climate change destroyed many houses.
This old man no longer lives in the home that his parents built. He no longer lives in a permanent home at all.
We no longer have the cool, fresh air we used to have from the sea.
He sits in a temporary shelter built by the UN. It's a camp called Djogop. Hundreds of people live here, all of them displaced by rising seas. Mamadou leads their community organization. When I ask if he misses his former life as a fisherman,
okay.
Of course, he says. The camp's landscape is uniform and monochrome. The flimsy plastic walls of the cookie-cutter buildings are the same tan color as the sand that surrounds them. The structures sit on gray concrete blocks in an orderly grid. These homes have no running water or electricity. Goats forage for any small nub of greenery. This place feels miles from the ocean, and it is. Some of the men here still catch a bus every day to go fishing at 4 a.m. They pay a bus fare they can't always afford. They tell us it feels insulting having to pay to get to water that used to be at their fingertips. Khadi Sarr is Mamadou's wife.
It's really strange because for generations we used to live near the sea. Fishermen, kids, they only know the sea. We don't know anything else but the sea.
There's an expression in Wolof: water doesn't leave its path. It means once water decides where it wants to go, there's no stopping it. Climate change means weather events that used to be rare are common. Floods that happened once every century now arrive once a decade. There's no going back, and it's getting worse. I wanted to know what life was like before the catastrophe, before the waters rose. So I asked the community leader Mamadou Thiam to take us back to the house that he abandoned, and he agreed. We reached the community of Gendar. If I expected a cordoned off disaster area, it's the opposite. There's a cacophony of life here. In contrast to the camp's orderly tan monochrome, here, waves crash, birds wheel, wind blows, a pelican stands in the road. Fishing boats in rainbow colors line the shore, and the smells of fish, salt, and cooking fires mingle in the air. Mamadou points. This is where the edge of his house used to be. Now it's rubble. He leads us back to a room that's still standing. The deep blue walls are stippled with white and green where salt water and wind have peeled away the paint.
I was born in this room.
And now? Now what is this place?
It's the sea. The sea was right up to here.
He'll never forget the day the water arrived.
Yeah, like it was today.
There was no storm, just a very high tide.
When you were in the house and the water was coming in, can you show us how high it was? The water was up to your hips.
I was afraid for the children and the women. I was trying to save them. When all the children and the women were rescued, that's when I started being afraid for myself.
Many of the houses on this street were destroyed. A younger man named Amsatu Fall has rebuilt some of the walls in his family's house by tying fishing rope around plastic panels from the UN camp shelters.
I did all this myself because the sea made the walls fall down.
He is a fisherman who sold his fishing boat a year ago. He's decided there's no future for him in Senegal.
Going to Spain is the only way for me to solve all my family's problems.
He has a bag packed, ready for when the time is right. He shows it to us. And it's actually a bucket with a tight lid.
In this bucket with a lid, there's basically one t-shirt, waterproof top and pants, and then religious beads, and that's it. You start a new life, and that's all you carry. When you imagine your life in Spain, what do you think it will be?
My dream is to work hard and give money to my kids and my mom so she can at least have food for a month. Because ever since I was born, I've never seen my mom have money for a full month.
He's 37 years old. I ask if he still has money for the journey from the fishing boat that he sold a year ago, and he says, no, I won't have to pay. Because I'm a fisherman, I understand the sea. I have useful skills for a journey like this.
So, will you be the captain of the boat?
Usually I'm the captain of the boat, so I might be the captain.
This is the great responsibility of so many people's lives in your hands.
Yeah, I'll treat them all like myself. We have the same needs. If I am successful, everyone is successful. But if not, we all fail.
When he sold his boat a year ago, he explained to his children that he was going away, maybe for a very long time. By now, he thinks they've forgotten. But he doesn't forget it for a minute. He says he will leave the drowning city of Saint Louis. He looks out at the crashing waves and says, it could even be tonight. Life in Saint Louis is defined by water and the fish that live in it. Every evening, small fishing boats called pirogues come ashore. While men unload their catch, women wade into the water up to their knees. Men hoist bright-eyed swordfish, tuna, and boxes piled with snapper and mahi-mahi. A short walk away, women work at the Fish Transformation Center.
It's a hot day, and the fresh catch won't stay fresh for long. So this is a center where people, they use the term transform the fish into products that can be shipped great distances inland. And the key tool for the transformation is salt.
Once we wash the fish, we put it in these containers, and then we put salt on it. Then we close it for 3 or 4 days, then we sell it.
Ndey Maram Diop learned the art of fish preservation from her mother. A basin at her feet is full of salted fish. This will last months without refrigeration.
We can see the ocean very close right here. When you were a child, how far away was it when your mother was doing this work?
It was very far from here, but the sea is advancing.
Do you worry that someday the sea might be here and you will not be able to work here?
We're very worried about that. One day, we don't know. We're really worried.
What will you do if that happens?
Run away and see if the government can help us?
Boats from Europe and China are scooping up Senegal's fish, so it's harder than ever for Senegalese people to make a living from the sea. The situation worries a matriarch named Yaram Fall. She's the head of an economic interest group for the women who preserve fish. She represents hundreds of Senegalese women who do her kind of work. Ocean waves crash in the background just outside her door. But Yaram Fall insists she's not going anywhere.
I have a motto saying that I'm going to stay here, work here, and succeed here.
Stay here, work here, succeed here.
Right. She has seen the ways that commercial overfishing and climate change are squeezing the people of Saint Louis.
We've spoken to so many fishermen who say, I cannot earn a living here, so I'm going to Europe. Do you know many people who have left, who have given up?
Yeah, there are a lot of them said that they're going to go to Europe. But I think this is not the good solution.
And so when a young man says, I have to leave, what do you say to him?
Parce qu'ils ne savent pas ce qu'ils rencontrent. Moi, j'ai fait l'Europe. J'ai visité plusieurs pays en Europe.
They don't understand. I've been to many European countries, such as Italy.
C'est pas facile.
And it's not easy there.
Là-bas, il y a le travail. Mais ici, il y a aussi le travail.
You can find a job, but here too, there is a job. You have to believe in it.
Yarmfall travels all over the world for culinary and cultural events, representing the Senegalese women who preserve fish. And she's seen how Senegalese people live in Switzerland, in Canada. She is adamant the grass is not greener over there. Taxes are higher, she says. One meal of smoked fish in Italy costs what she'd pay for 3 days of food at home.
L'Afrique doit être développée par les Africains.
The development of Africa comes from its own people.
Tous les jeunes veulent partir à l'extérieur.
All those young people, they would like to go.
Outside her balcony, we hear a rhythmic chanting. On the beach, men are organizing the fishing nets, a row of arms pulling in rhythm, hand over hand. Even little kids join in. 2 weeks later, we are more than 2,000 miles away, in southern Spain. On a strawberry farm, workers from across sub-Saharan Africa poke seedlings into a raised bed. One of these migrant farm workers is from that coastal town in Senegal. His name is Abdoulaye Baye. I pull out my phone and show him the video of the men organizing the nets on the shore where he used to live. His face lights up.
That's your family?
Then the family, you know?
It's San Luis, yeah, si. Gendar.
Si. Your name is he.
Ah, you're from there.
Your name is San Luis.
Those are my people, he says. We're all like family in that community. In 2006, he gave up his life as a fisherman. Baye worked as an undocumented immigrant for 10 years in Spain, 10 years without seeing his wife or son. Now he has papers and can go back to visit, and he sends them 2 euros out of every 5 he earns.
Is the life in Spain more difficult than the fishing life in Senegal?
This is harder work, but you can make more money here than in Senegal. Fishing is also hard, but you don't make that much money.
In San Luis, we spoke to a woman named Yarmfall. She's the head of the group of women who preserve fish. And she said to us, people need to stay because the future of Africa will be built by Africans. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a good rule, but there's no work there. So you can't find work, and if you find work, it's not enough to make a living. It's barely enough to eat.
Sometimes when he eats fish in Spain, he thinks about where his meal came from. He wonders whether commercial trawlers from Europe pulled the fish out of the Senegalese waters he used to sail, off the coast of San Luis. Our journey continues to North Africa as we trace a line that connects three of the biggest stories of our time: climate change, migration, and the rise of far-right political leaders. Tap your screen now to hear our story from Morocco and a fortified border that's meant to stop migrants from entering Europe. Or you can come back later and find our special series on the Home tab.